Call the special meeting of the Columbia City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Trapp?
Here.
Mr. Scala?
Here.
Mr. Thomas?
Here.
Mr. Pitzer?
Here.
Ms. Peters? Mr. Treese?
Ms. Treese is present.
Ms. Fowler?
Present.
A quorum being present, I'd like to invite Councilmember Trapp to join me at the podium. And the city manager. Well, it is with great pleasure that I recognize Michael Trapp's last day on the Columbia City Council. To paraphrase Shakespeare, how could I repent these many long meetings with you? Your 9 years on City Council has prioritized good government and responsible planning, and because of your service and retirement, you have set the council on a clear path for success. On behalf of the City Council, it's my pleasure to present to you our resolution of appreciation for your 9 years of service.
I've read a lot of these.
I know.
Although
over the years,
you were a lot more available than the previous mayor. So I read less when you came.
A lot of people have come and gone. A plaque expressing our appreciation, as well as a tree to be planted in your honor at the park of your choosing from the City Council, donated by our Parks and Recreation Department.
Sweet.
Let me ask the city manager to come forward.
Mr. Trapp, we spent a lot of time together, and I want to thank you for all the supportive staff and the capital projects that you voted for and those that you didn't. I know it's a tough decision on all of them, but we really appreciate your service. And on behalf of the city, we want to present you with a tile. Has your name, your date, and your service for 9 years, from 2012 to 2021. It's a piece of art from Susan Taylor Glasgow. And so don't set anything hot on it. It's not a hot plate. It will break. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I also have, from the staff, we always give a gift. Of course, I've talked to you about this, and you've requested a gift of an adopt-a-spot. This is a certificate of what the sign will look like. We're going to ask you to tell us where to put the sign in your adopt-a-spot, so we put it in the right spot for you. So I want you to have this on our behalf. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I know there are some council members that would like to say a few things about you, but before I think we'll do that after we swear in your replacement, but it's my pleasure to recognize you for 3 minutes if you would like to give your final comments, and of course I'm sure you would adhere to that time limit as you've done every other.
I have been busted with the 12 and a half minute wandering diatribe.
Yeah.
And so I've only done that once, but so I'm promised not to wander. I've been thinking about what I was going to say at this moment for 6.5 years. And before I get to that, I should say that I never would have run if I thought I was going to win. I truly, when I decided to do this, you know, it was Jason Thornhill was not going to run for re-election, and it was 10 days before the filing deadline, and no one had filed, and there was a newspaper article in the Columbia Tribune when they still did local news, and it said, what would happen if nobody ran? And if no one had run this election, then I would have had to continue to serve. So I want to start with gratitudes, and I'll thank Andrea Warner for running for the second ward city council seat. She's going to be a great, she was a great candidate. She ran a great campaign. She ran against two active opponents and cleared a majority. That says a lot. It was a decisive victory, and she has the support of the ward and my support, and I'm really looking forward to see what she does with this position, but I know it's going to be in good hands. So it takes a village to, as Andrea will tell you, it takes a village to run for city council. And it takes a village to govern. This is no single person can do even that singular thing of sitting behind the dais without a lot of support and help. So I want to start my remarks with some gratitude. And first, I want to, you know, thank the voters in the second ward that I've been honored to serve, that they sent me back to sit at the dais. Well, they sent me three times, is a high honor, and it means a lot to me because I'm not I don't have the typical background, and I decided when I was going to do politics that I was going to do some things differently. I'm not going to talk in sound bites, that I'm going to talk about the whole nuance of the issue, and I'm going to be real and genuine. I'm going to be myself, and I'm a little bit of a freak. But this is Columbia, and you can do that, and you still get to do cool stuff. And it's something that makes Columbia special, and it was special. I fell in love with Columbia when I just came here as a visitor and moved here for no good reason, and 6 years later was elected to city council. So I also want to thank my family. Just because of the COVID situation, I didn't ask anybody to come out. But if they hear echoes of this, or if they're watching on the stream, I know my mom and dad, I'm jealous to see that people's parents come to see them get to do great things, because my parents had both passed away before I'd ever kind of made anything with my life. And so I'm honored to represent our family and to do these things, and I hope that they're watching from someplace and got to know to see how well that their kiddo did, because I was the first kid in my family to go to college. And then I went on a giant hitchhiking trip and didn't do anything with it for more than a decade. But it all paid off. My brother John has been my biggest local family. He came he worked on my campaign from California before he lived here. Had barely knew Columbia, but he's put a lot into seeing that I got elected, worked on all three of my campaigns, and then moved to Columbia and has been a big support that I've got to have family dinner times and things that generally single fellas don't get to have as far as family support. So thankful for him, his partner Flo. We have a great household, and they take care of the dog, and when I got super busy, they made everything work, and I couldn't have done these things without their support. As a city manager, you only have three employees, and I have had great people in every position. I inherited Mike Mathis as city manager, but Mike taught me a lot about how city government worked. He had a great passion and a lot of Mike's innovations. We continued he uplifted the city and made it a better place. I was proud to work with him. And then we replaced with John Glasscock. And John has been a great city manager. One thing about John was a public works director, and I remember he really taught me what it's like to work with engineers. Because when I was a fairly new council person, John Glasscock said to me, "You know what I like about you, Mike? You can ask a question in a way that I can understand." And I thought, what a low bar that engineers place for us. But the city speaks engineering, and that's a lot of times is the miscommunications that we have, and taking an engineer and putting him at the helm was an experiment, because he said that he didn't have that vision thing, but he's really had a great vision and has advanced the city and has been a steady hand at very difficult times, and I think we did a great choice in hiring John Glasscock as Columbia City Manager. Bob Auger was judge when I was elected, and I had said in Judge Bob's court, and it's one of the great municipal courts statewide. There's a lot of problems in Missouri municipal courts, but not here in Columbia. We had a leading court. When Bob retired, we hired Kavanaugh Nose, and Cav has been an incredible judge. The community support docket shows such wisdom and is so such excellence. And then my only city clerk that I've worked with is Sheila Amin. I would never do municipal service anywhere else or ever again, because no one could be as detail-oriented and friendly and helpful and forward-thinking to anticipate every potential problem that could possibly go wrong, and to have three backup plans for every single one. And that's Sheila. She's always on it. Like the four or five times that I had slight things that I found in the minutes were some of the best times of my political life, because she just to catch Sheila in a mistake, you're not going to get to do that every year if you work really, really hard. So blessed to have. And then the other 1,500 employees at the city at all levels that have worked collaboratively with me. I want to thank a few department heads. I want to thank the ones that have taught me the most, you know. So that's Matthew Liu and Michelle and John, the previous finance directors, because financing and engineering, when John Glasscock was public works director, I learned a lot about how things work from him. Tim Teddy has been gracious with his time in teaching me the art of planning, which is something that most people who get to the dais have a lot more experience and knowledge of than I did. And so he shared his technical expertise that meant a lot to me. I also want to thank the department heads and leaders of areas that I worked with closely and collaboratively in areas that I had a great deal of passion. Stephanie Browning needs to have singular attention drawn to her for the Herculean effort that she's taken in leading us through this COVID disaster, and has not won, you know, accolades, but has taken a lot of abuse for her good work. And in one way that you can tell when you're doing really good stuff is when people needlessly abuse you in awful ways because you're doing the right thing. And that's one of the great pleasures that I've had on city council, and I know Stephanie Brownie's going through it now. Steve Hollis is a friend and collaborative partner who worked with me on homelessness issues, and Randy Cole also did address the pandemic magnificently, but together with council support, we formed the Columbia Community Land Trust, which is one of the most significant things that I've been accomplished with. And that's a good segue. I wish I could thank every staff person. I see people that that do great things with the strategic plan and convention and visitors, and all of the various aspects of the city and ready. And I was hands-on in council, and I encourage you, to the extent that you have that time, to do so, to work with folks and build those relationships. Want to thank the stakeholders who get involved, who come to the meetings and follow council, and people with concentrated interests, activists, and people who are trying to move things through the city. I appreciate everybody's patience and forbearance, and I've learned a lot from the stakeholders. Here's a tip, Andrea. When you're meeting with a civil engineer about a project that they might be pitching, pick their brains about other projects that they're not involved with, because they're great, unbiased experts. So after, like, okay, now that we've talked about your project, let me ask you about this. And how does this work? Because there's a lot of things that you don't know that you need to know to be a great council person. And so finding those topic experts and scheduling those tutorials and grabbing that unstructured time to figure out how to do all this stuff right is really important. I'm over my 3 minutes, but I'm going to keep trucking. So I ran on three things, because everybody does. And when I thought, I really reflected on why was I going to do this and what was I going to do. And before I ran on those three things, you know, I come from a pretty extreme political view. I have some doubts about, is government the best tool to solve most problems, and are there better ways that we should organize and use our resources to help and lift each other up and take care of our social needs? But I also realized that I had a fiduciary responsibility for a giant organization and 1,500 employees who wanted to get paid every other week and have a good, and all of the people who live in the city who don't see the world like I do. And I decided that I was going to be a pragmatist, and that I was going to, at my utmost, that I was going to look at and make those hard decisions, and I think that I've done that. But the three things that I decided to run on was, one was livable streets, because I ran for city council because there wasn't a sidewalk in front of my house. You know, rich city like Columbia, why isn't there a sidewalk in front of my house? It's a busy street. I found out that there are over 300 miles of city streets that don't have a sidewalk. That sidewalk costs $125 a linear foot on average. It's probably more than that now. And so if you can do math, you can see that this is a real difficult problem. And even as a candidate, I went from every street should have a sidewalk on day one of my campaign to at the end of my campaign, every busy street where people want one to the extent that we can afford one should have a sidewalk. Because to be a good council person, you have to listen. And I ran on that, and I ran on that too. And listening doesn't mean that you obey, but it means that you hear every voice and you can repeat every argument that people make to you in a fair and reasonable way, and you can see the truth there. And I've done that. So sidewalks on Craig, there's on Oakland Gravel Road, the Leslie Lane sidewalk is coming in the spring. I saw there was a cement truck pulled up, and we were ready, and it kept on going. But I know it's coming. The roundabout at Parker and Vandiver, traffic calming, which I didn't even realize the importance of as a candidate, but I see as a way to all of these things. When I talk about livable streets, I'm talking about the front yard experience versus the back deck experience. And I'm thinking about livable streets not as transportation policy, but about neighborhood life policy. And so traffic calming, we've gotten Derby Ridge, and we've tripled the amount of traffic calming. We've doubled the amount of sidewalks. There still needs to be more to be done. But we made real accomplishments on that signature issue. The third thing I ran on, and I know I didn't skip one. I'm going to come back to two. The third thing I ran on was a focus on the future. And for me, that the heart of that is sustainability. But I wanted to run on things that 95% of the people in the community could agree on. And sustainability is a laden word. But I think we ought to live within our resource base, and that we ought to pass on to the little ones the great things that we have that were given to us by our ancestors. If I can say this about the city of Columbia, and this is true of all cities, the city is a giant Rube Goldberg machine. You know, the mousetrap game, and that was handed to us by our ancestors and that we hand to our children, and nobody knows how the whole thing works. And I realized that when we found a sewer line that the map said had been taken offline in 1945 that we found out was still discharging into the system, and I realized nobody knows. And nobody knows how the whole thing works. But we all have our pieces that people who are in charge of know a lot about, and they have that technical expertise, and we all have to come together. So it takes us the ability of council to step back and look at the whole giant thing. And we need to make sure that we make proper investments. Thus, the most things that we've done most significantly were the very strict energy efficiency standards and all new building codes. You know, every building in Columbia gets built at a high level of sustainability. I'm very proud of that. And then we've done a lot with the Climate Action Adaption Plan and all of the things that we've done to improve the environment, to ensure that the fiscal health of the city is still strong. There were things that I would have liked to have seen us do that we weren't able to do, but overall, we've weathered difficult times, and the city is strong and is going to be a force for good well into the future. And the second thing I ran on was, as Mayor Treese alluded to, was good government. And I'm a big fan of the good government movement. Teddy Roosevelt started the idea of good government, that because cities were corrupt, you know, Tammany Hall, if you remember from your U.S. history, and that was more the routine than the exception. And the good government movement brought us the manager council form of government, which I have a great deal of respect for, to hire professionals. And we'd leave our decision making at the policy level and not the administrative level. I think there's a big giant piece of wisdom there. And for me, good government meant explaining the city to the people and explaining the people to the city. So I kept my home phone number was listed on the website. I kept conversations and doors open, and I made myself freely available to explain to the media about what was going on. And to me, that's transparency, is really informing people as much as you can without a lot of spin or beating on your chest and taking accomplishments like I'm doing tonight. I got so much stuff done. but explaining how things are and what we need to do, and showing a good sense of leadership. And so there's still some things that are undone in the process of good government, roll carts. But we also did a great deal. I mean, it's hard to look at the city now and the city that was here 9 years ago. We're so much more transparent, so much information, more information is available. We're our open decision making. People still question that, and we have not won over everyone's trust because we're always going to have critics and they're always going to take shots. And if people don't like the outcome, they're going to darn the process. And so that's always going to happen. But there, I can assure you, after looking under the hood of the Columbia City government, that it's healthy. And all of the people that I haven't even talked about, my council colleagues, everyone that I have served with on council, regardless of their political ideology, they've all been selfless individuals who got nothing out of this, who all served to the best of their abilities and brought a lot of great expertise and wisdom to the table. A couple of council members that I want to mention, you know, really the ones, everyone I've worked with is impressive and selfless. But the ones that I most treasure are the ones that I've become friends with. And Jenny Chadwick and I continue to be friends. She's a fierce advocate for public health still today. Betsy Peters, her sister Anne, helped out on my first campaign, and I've been longtime friends with Anne, and we're, you know, friends of the family, and we all know each other, and she's really more like family. Laura Nauser was a great person that really we developed a strong friendship. And I'll talk about my last piece of good government, but I want to acknowledge just Ian Thomas. It's been a tough year for him, and one time Helen Anthony, who I served with in my first term, said about Barbara Hoppe that she was the conscience of the Columbia City Council. And Ian has really stepped into that role that of caring about every single person in the city and working hard and doing his homework and being thoughtful. And Ian's just a great person and sincere and real, and I'm proud to call him my friend. And so I want to acknowledge him tonight. And so biggest piece of good government, and I want to close with this because I want to lead on to what I should have run on, and then I'll wrap up. This is about what I expected time-wise. So the biggest thing of good government that I did is Laura Nauser and I co-chaired the Mayor's Task Force on Community Violence. In 2013, there was a notable shooting downtown. It got 5 million views, no hits, but 5 million hits on YouTube. And it became a phenomenon. And I didn't watch television before then. And so people were calling me, like, have you seen the footage? And I'm like, I read about it in the paper. And people demanded, you know, so I flipped on KMIZ for a weekend. And I saw that shooting again and again and again. And I saw why people were in an uproar in that weekend of watching television. I saw it more than 50 times. And so we had to do something, and the chief of police at the time was proposing a curfew, and I didn't think that was a good idea. And so we decided to form a task force. And task force are a great way of not solving a problem and kicking a can down the road, but that's not what we were about. And Ms. Nauser and I, before we ever met, we decided we weren't going to prejudge this. We were going to pull together this diverse group of people, most of whom neither one of us had met. And we were gonna let the group decide how we were gonna do it, how often we were gonna meet, and what we were gonna accomplish together. And we explored these issues for 18 months. In that time, we were well on our way in addressing these issues when the Michael Brown shooting happened. And it really lit up the idea about race and policing and police brutality that has came to a head with the George Floyd killing last summer and all of the protests, and that we've been engaged in that process. And I wish we had more concrete actions to show for it, but policing is an intrinsically tough issue to address. But the Mayor's Task Force on Community Violence report continues to be a touchstone and points in that direction about how we should be addressing those issues. So I'm proud of that. And that gets to me to what I should have run on. With Columbia's history of being founded in slavery, of being a sundown town south of Broadway, which means black folks were not allowed south of Broadway after dark until the 1950s with segregated businesses. I saw segments of Columbia City planning documents from the 1930s with overt racism within them, the taking of the Sharp End neighborhood through our own urban renewal with overtly racism rationales being put forward for those tasks, and then the redlining through banking, the racial terrorism that didn't allow the black population to grow until we established some basic safety, which is fairly recent in our history. I'm from Michigan. I'd only lived here in 6 years, and I understood most of those things, but I did not understand the implications until I started to govern and became part of the white power structure. I've been a voice for this, and it's been some of the most important things and significant things that I've done, but I wish that I would have done more. And what should we do? Faced with this terrible legacy and history, and then with current, with the way that COVID has wreaked havoc on the African-American community and the things that have been helpful have been less so, with police stop data still getting worse instead of getting better, we need to place this forefront on our agenda and we need to address it. And I think to address our history, James Joyce had a line, history is a nightmare from which I'm trying to awaken. And if we're ever going to wake up from the nightmare of our own history, we need to tell the truth about it. We need to make sure that we're all on the same page, because we're a community of immigrants and transplants, and people don't always appreciate the history of Columbia. And so I would propose that we look for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, what South Africa did to move out of the apartheid era into an era of multiracial democracy, which is still unfulfilled, but they're working towards it. And so that is, I want to put that out there with my last chance of City Council's spotlight, that this is something that needs to be done, that should be addressed, that we need to pull historians and activists and involve people and discuss what happened, to make a total telling of it and give us a chance to unify and to be one Columbia. And that's what I want to leave you with. And I'm going to leave it with Clyde Ruffin set a high standard by closing with a poem, his City Council service. I'm going to do the same. And then everyone will stay on council forever because they won't want to have to read a poem. and this is one I wrote. It's called The Sins of the Father. The sins of the fathers pass on to the sons, unto seven generations, and not just privilege and freedom, come from being born an oppressor's son. Now I don't blame the man who gave me my name. He did what he did, he survived. But the karmic web of the disenfranchised dead tells me to pay for his crimes. I rejoice in the struggle and battles not yet won. I believe in the redemption of the Father through the redemption of the Son. I believe in the spirit of wholeness that calls us all to one. Thank you.
And Joe and Henry, if you want to join her up here to take the oath of office.
I, Andrea Weiner,
do solemnly swear
Solemnly swear.
That I possess all qualifications.
For the office of Second Ward Council Member.
For the City of Columbia.
For the City of Columbia, Missouri.
That I am not
subject.
To any of the disqualifications.
Set forth in the Charter.
Of the City of Columbia.
That I will support the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And of the State of Missouri.
And the Charter and Ordinances.
Of the City of Columbia.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of my office.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
And it is my honor to present you with your commission.
Super.
Representing the Second Ward. Would you like to join us at the City Council dais? Councilmember Wainer. Words before I invite the commission to comment.
Yes, thank you. First, I want to thank my family for being here. I appreciate all of you. I actually timed my statement to get at 3 minutes, so you're welcome. Growing up, my mother relied on help from family and friends to provide us with childcare when access to quality, affordable care was not an option. We relied on payment plans and assistance programs when our utilities became too much to bear, when we were forced to make a decision between electricity or medication. We relied on the experience and knowledge of our local officials and community service agencies to help us navigate through the chaos that is our social safety net. We relied on the kindness of strangers who brought our family food when my mother had cancer. The success of my family, my parents, and my siblings have been made possible by the dogged determination of our community, who believes that we all do better when we all do better. And for that, I am forever grateful. In fifth grade, we were asked what we wanted to be when we grew up. I said I wanted to play for the WNBA. If you know me, that is laughable. I also said I wanted to be president because I wanted to help people. I believe in the power of good government since I was a kid. And though I no longer wish to be president, I find myself on the precipice of a unique opportunity to be able to use my experience and the experiences of my family to make real and lasting change in Columbia. I'm thankful for the voters of the Second Ward and the trust that they have placed in me. I take this opportunity to advocate for change, to truly address the systemic inequities that hold our community back. I also take this moment to champion the programs and policies that help move Columbia forward. And as the first woman to hold this seat since 1988, when I was just 1 year old, I take this opportunity to demonstrate to other young women, mothers in particular, that you can be involved in government. Your voice does matter, and you deserve the seat at the table just like everyone else. To my son, Henry, you are the why behind everything I do. The late nights, stacks of books, and countless meetings are for you. I want Columbia to be a community that you can be proud of, that you can love, and that loves you back. Thank you for letting me be your mama. To close, it's only fitting that I quote Leslie Knope. If I seem too passionate, it's because I care. If I come on strong, it's because I feel strongly. And if I push too hard, it's because things aren't moving fast enough. This is my home, you are my family, and I promise you, I'm not going anywhere. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations. We have some additional business to do before I do. Is there any council member that likes to be recognized? Mr. Scala.
Yeah, I'd like to make a few brief comments. I mean, Mr. Trapp, Michael Trapp, has been a council veteran, a nine-year council veteran, only outserved by me, I guess. But so I'm on my 12th year here. And when he speaks, I think I reminisce a bit over the years, all the way from 1999, when I first served on the Planning and Zoning Commission, through Ray Beck, Bill Watkins, Mike Mathis, and John Glasscock, four city managers, Darwin Heineman, Robert McDavid, and Brian Treese, three mayors. And Mike was there for a lot of that. And as I recall, just a little story, kind of a vignette. I had lost a kind of a heartbreaking election in 2010. I served from 2007 to 2010, lost an election in that year by 54 votes. And I spent a lot of time on that side of the dais, rather than on this side of the dais, after serving here. And I remember meeting Mike on Facebook, which has been my demise ever since. I've been on Facebook now for 20 years, I guess, or so. But I remember him talking about the possibility of running in the second ward, for a second ward seat. Jason Thornhill at the time was someone I had served with, and he had decided not to run again. So I encouraged, not that I'm the de factor, or maybe even a small precipitating factor, but I encouraged Mike to run. I didn't know a lot about him, but he seemed to have a lot of enthusiasm, and it seemed like the second ward needed someone. I don't ever regret doing that. I think that was a wise decision. We've had our differences sometimes over the years. We've had many agreements as well, but it's always been cordial, and it's always, for me, this body, more than the issues. The issues are intrinsically interesting, but it's the group dynamics. It's the collegiality. It's how to make it work. And he was one of those cogs in the wheel that helped to make it work. And so I appreciate Mike. I wish you well in your future endeavors. It's been a privilege, and it's been a treat, actually, all these years. To deal with each other. I suppose you feel the same way. So thank you for that. Thank you for all the folks that put themselves out there, and certainly thank you for all the staff that supports all the folks that put themselves out there. And Andrea, buckle up. And good luck to you for your future endeavors, and I'm looking forward to this partnership. Thank you.
Does any further council member desire to be heard? Mr. Thomas.
Sure. Andrea, let me first welcome you to the City Council and endorse your statement that we all do better when we all do better. I think that's a great proverb for us to keep in mind in everything that we do. And Mike, it's been a tremendous pleasure to serve alongside you, and I think the way I'll remember you is that I always knew what you were thinking about every issue. And if I didn't, I would ask you, and you would just tell me in a straightforward way. And that's really appreciated in the work we do. So well done, and thank you.
Anyone else desire to be heard? Mr. Pitzer.
Yeah, thank you. And Ms. Wehner, welcome. And we look forward to all of your input and guidance. Mr. Trapp, just want to say a few nice things about you. You know, I've heard that story you said before about how John told you that you could ask questions that he could understand. And when I was a new council member, you know, you could explain those issues in a way that I, you know, somebody not familiar with all the workings could understand what was actually going on up here. I still don't always get it, but you could explain it to me then, and that was always appreciated. And I remember one particular issue that was somewhat divisive or controversial in the community, and I think you and I agreed on it. I think we might have been the only two out of the seven on that side of the issue. But at one point in the you know, weeks-long discussion leading up to the vote, you said the public process is alive. It is out there, and it is alive. And that's something that I've really learned to appreciate in my time here, and I thank you for bringing that to light, that the public process, it's not always neat, it's not always clean or pretty or even fun but it's how government works. It's how democracy works, and it's, you know, what this country is founded upon, and it's essential to the good government attributes that you strove for. So I appreciate you always stressing those, and you know, you've left the city better than you found it, and we all thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Pitzer. Any further public comment? Councilmember Fowler.
Thank you, Mayor. Mike, I want to remind you how we met through a service project. You were still working on Wilkes, and the first project, Homeless Connect, was going to happen. I don't even remember what year it was. But I remember that you explained to me and the service learning students that were with me about the nature of homelessness, and you changed immediately any preconceived notions we had about persons who were experiencing homelessness. And I found that to be a transformative way for me to engage with the community when our service projects involved working with the various agencies. And I just wanted you to know that I haven't forgotten those lessons, and your guidance and articulation of the things that we're not looking at where homelessness is concerned still are important to me and still guide my efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fowler. Moving on to the next order of business, I would like to make a motion to reappoint Carl Scala as Mayor Pro Tem. I value his seniority and his perspective, and he has served in this role for the last at least year, if not two terms, as Pro Tem, and would like to reappoint him as Pro Tem again this year. Is there a second? Thank you. Second by Councilmember Wehner. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. We also make appointments to the New Century Fund board. Currently, I serve as the council's liaison to that board. It is the 501c3 arm of the city. We had a meeting last week. We have two new board members. I'd like to continue serving in that without objection, and would choose to appoint myself unless there are any objections.
Objection.
Seeing none. We also have a CAM stakeholder committee. That is the collaborative management group that oversees the Hinkson TMDL, the total maximum daily load. Carl Scala has served on that. Are you willing to continue serving on that?
Just a comment. The CAM group has recently made a giant step forward in having some virtual meetings in terms of their science groups on Fridays. We have kind of a Friday CAM get-together. And it's been incredibly informative, and I will assure you that we are making great progress, particularly with respect to the city and the county as it relates to Hinkson Creek. So I would be happy to continue to serve in that capacity. Thank you for your nod.
Thank you. Any objection to reappointing Carl Scala to the CAM stakeholder group? Seeing none. Are there any additional issues the council may wish to consider? We do have to do a quick room flip for the 7 o'clock, but we do have 7 to 10 minutes. Seeing none, I move that we adjourn and stand at ease until 7 o'clock.